We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Ron, let's go right out to the Hall and Capitas fan hotline, where we find our friend Bob Grove, 93.7thefan.com hockey columnist, longtime writer, observer, reporter, historian regarding the Penguins. Grover, how are you today?
Oh, Mr. Starkey, I'm doing fine. Hope you're staying safe and all your listeners are as well.
Likewise. And if this happens, let's take a little bit of a deeper dive into Penguins Canadiens. How much danger lurks in that matchup?
Well, I mean, I think we saw Chris Letang yesterday talking about the fact that the Canadiens are a quick, younger team. All true. So, you know, you don't go into this any of these series, no matter who you are, thinking it's a walkover, right? I mean, nobody thinks like that. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, the Penguins have beaten them twice this season out of three meetings. The Canadiens have the worst record of any of the 24 teams in the tournament. The Penguins have historically done very well against Carey Price. We could go on and on and on. They've got mediocre special teams. They're not that great defensively. You know, if the Penguins are playing anywhere near their game and they're focused, there shouldn't really be much of a problem with the Montreal Canadiens, at least not in my book.
Bob, what did you think of Bettman's press conference the other day? I mean, I guess he had no choice, but there was a whole lot of I don't knows and we'll sees in there, wasn't there? Now we're talking to the Jeff Hathorn just said training camps aren't going to open, what, till maybe mid-July? I mean, I'm just wondering when and if we're going to get this back.
Yeah, no, and there were a lot of details that he couldn't really expound much on because they haven't reached agreement with the Players Association, and I think that's fair. I mean, you know, I think the NHL accomplished what it wanted to accomplish, which was to be the first league to come out with its plan. Now we'll just wait to see if it can come to fruition, if they can get these details cleaned up. But you know, I thought they did a good job. I thought Bettman did as good of a job as possible of making everybody available, himself and Daly, and answering as many questions as they could and being frank about what they didn't know. So, you know, I mean, I also found that I like the fact that he said, look, we haven't determined whether when we get to the first round, so after the quote-unquote play-in games, the best-of-five series are over, we haven't gotten around to deciding or agreeing whether the first round of the 16-team tournament would be best-of-five or best-of-seven. But the league said, look, we're gonna let the players, you know, tell us whether they want to reseed, and we'll take the players' opinion very, very seriously when we get to how long the series are. But I thought they were forthcoming in saying, look, we don't know if we're going to reseed the teams, but we'll let the players decide. And whatever they decide is best. You know, they like a bracket, but it's obvious to me the players want to reseed because they don't want these teams who feel there's players who feel there's some teams in here, obviously, who shouldn't get this opportunity. And I think that's why the players feel like we want to reseed, because if you somehow get through the best of five series, you know, let's say you're the Canadians, you know, you're the lowest seed. We want you to play the Bruins next, for example. So I think that's the way it's going to end up. But yeah, there's some details that need to be worked out, especially about can families come and all that kind of stuff. And we haven't even got that far, but I think they did as good a job as you could expect.
Me too. I mean, with the seeding and the format and all that, you could definitely argue there's too many teams. Jay Caulfield made a good point, I thought, about, hey, the idea here is to mitigate safety risks, then why are you bringing in a few hundred extra people here to make it a 24-team situation, Grover? But yep. In previous years, speaking of the competitive aspect, how many times have we seen the two best teams in hockey maybe play in the first or second round? How many times have we seen Penguins, Capitals in the second round? The format in the NHL has never been ideal. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I think that's true, and I think that's more because of what the rivalry situation is and the need for gate receipts, even though I was kind of stunned that Bettman has said that their gate revenues are less than half of their revenues. Like, wow. I mean, I find that hard to believe, and that goes against everything. Everybody's always reported about how important gate receipts are to the National Hockey League, so I'm not sure how he's counting that or all the details on that, but I think that's been part of the reason, the regional rivalries, the division rivalries. You know, because it always sort of amused me, Joe, to be honest with you, that there's been so much attention about the fact that the NHL playoffs right now might have the top two teams playing each other in the second round and how unfair that is, et cetera, et cetera. Go back to the old Patrick Division days in the early 90s. The same scenario, you know, I haven't gone back to actually look, but the same scenario could have played out in some of those years where it just so happens that the two best teams are in the same division. Well, they're going to play each other early, not late in the playoffs. And I don't really, nobody seems to remember that or point out that possibility. So it's always been there. You guys know, it's an imperfect situation, so the plan is not perfect. And I agree with Jay and with others, and I've told you this weeks and weeks ago, that 24 is too many teams for me. There's at least two in Chicago and Montreal, especially Montreal, shouldn't have this opportunity, but I get it. It's imperfect. You need 24 teams for whatever reason. They want to play more games. So it's fine. It'll work. And I also understand a guy like Rod Brind'Amour and what he said about why he thinks his team voted no, and which is, you know, what, have you just taken the whole, we've played 85% of the season, and you've just kind of said, that doesn't really matter.
Well, that's my argument, too. I felt that way all the whole time. And I get it. I know exactly what you're saying, Bob. There's no perfect way. But it sure looks to me like they're really minimizing the regular season here. I wanted to ask you, we were talking earlier, and I guess Chris Letang addressed this yesterday. You know, he has a precondition. You know, he had the stroke and heart issues. Do you think there will be guys that won't play for health reasons? And how do you think the league and teams will handle that?
Well, that's a great question, Ron. And look, when you've got a league of 700 some players, and so I haven't done the math on how many would be in the tournament, but obviously the majority of them, would it be shocking if one of them just says, look, I have a condition that I think puts me at exceptional risk and I'm not ready to take it? Yes, I think it could happen. And, you know, that would be unfortunate it'd be unfortunate for a team that's expecting them. But I think every player in his own mind has to make this decision, what's right for him personally in his life. And if he decides he doesn't want to take the risk, then, you know, he doesn't play, and I don't think the team should hold it against him.
Bob Grove on the Hall and Capitas fan hotline. I think Rod Brind'Amour and the Carolina Hurricanes have a hell of a nerve to question this, Grover. They're 2 points ahead, 1 point ahead, actually, of the 10th place team. They still had 14 games left and no goalies the last I checked. They're a team that has benefited from the regular season ending. If he wants to preserve the sanctity of the regular season, then they should be insisting, let's play those final 14 games and see if the Hurricanes would have made the playoffs. I think they got rewarded here.
Yeah, your point is well taken on the goaltending situation. You can absolutely look at it both ways. And I mean, the other team to vote no was Tampa. And I thought that says something about where that team is mentally, you know, to be honest with you. So I agree with you. You can look at it the other way. I mean, where it really hits home for me is not the best of five rounds, but where I think just taking the concept that Brind'Amour pushed out, which is like you've taken what we've grinded for and you haven't valued it enough going into the playoffs. Where that hits home for me is this round robin three games that the teams getting byes are going to play each other. You know, if the Bruins get off to a slow start, they could be the four seed. That to me is not right. Like, I get that those teams want to play games. They don't want the rest of the league to be playing important games and critical, you know, that they're getting real game experience while they're sitting around doing nothing. I understand why they don't want that to happen. And this answers that. This is the NHL's way of answering that, and I think it's a legitimate concern. But to put those four teams on even on a level playing field and say let's have the round robin tournament, and you know the Flyers, you could be the number one seed if you get hot, and the Bruins has been the best team in the league, you could be the number four seed. I don't think that's right. And there were some scenarios where people suggested play that round robin tournament, but give each of the top teams like a couple of points to start with as a nod to what they accomplished during the regular season. And I sort of agree with that.
Bob, we've had guests on, and apparently that is still to be determined, right? How they're going to handle that. Nobody seems to know how they're going to play that round robin tournament and how much impact it'll have. To me, that's another one of those things that has to be settled on and negotiated, right?
Well, Bettman didn't specifically talk about it, but I remember him getting a question about that, and I didn't hear any leeway for there to be some kind of weighted number of points given to teams before that tournament starts. And I think if that's still under, you know, to be negotiated, then yeah, I think that's something like that is actually the best possible scenario they could get to. And by the way, I agree that I think the teams should be reseeded after they get them, after you get to your 16. That's the way I would do it.
If it happens, Grover, who would your top two lines be for the Penguins?
Well, this is the big question with Jake Guentzel coming back. You know, could Zucker play over on the right side, or are you going to leave Sherry there and put Zucker down with Malkin? I think probably Zucker would move down with Malkin, and Marleau would move down the lineup because he was, you know, a second-line left wing when this all ended. But the issue there for me, this is only a problem. It's not really a big problem for the Penguins because what would you rather have your lines the way they were, but no Jake Guentzel? So you take it every day of the week. You leave Sherry up there with Guentzel on the left side, not the right, because he's played some on the right. That's a way you could play Zucker and Guentzel together, but I don't think Guentzel's as effective on the right wing. So I would leave him on the left with Sherry on the right. And, yeah, Sherry's got a producer. You start moving people around. But the only issue this presents for the Penguins is that Zucker has got to get used to playing with Evgeny Malkin, and he's not played with him. So that would be your focus through training camp and through, you know, if they say they're going to play a couple of, quote-unquote exhibition games. Not sure yet how. That's another detail that they talked about, but we don't know much more than that about. So that would be the issue, is get him and Malkin together on the same page because, you know, he doesn't play like Crosby. So that's an adjustment that Zucker would have to make.
Boy, what a nice luxury to have to decide where to play Guentzel, with Crosby or Malkin, when he's made beautiful music with both of them, right? I mean, you can't go wrong with that. He has played – I mean, he's their best goal scorer, and he's played with both of those guys extremely well.
No, absolutely, and it's like when you bring Jake Guentzel back, guys. This is why it's a best of five series. It's a short series. Anything can happen. The Canadians have nothing to lose. I get all that, and you know, but worrying about there seem to be a lot of people worried about the Penguins in this situation, and I just don't share that right now. I'm cognizant of the fact they could lose. Hey, look what happened last season. But actually, what happened last season to the Penguins is the thing that's telling me it's not going to happen again. Like, if there's one team going into this tournament who should have a fresh memory of, hey, early in the playoffs last year, in the very first round, who underachieved more than the Penguins did? Nobody. So everybody on that team, including Malkin and Crosby, are going to remember the pain that happened to them last year in the first round, and it's going to be a motivator on top of all the other motivators they already have to win another cup. So I'm glad you pointed that out, because you can talk about Carey Price and you can talk about Shea Weber and, you know, Guentzel, Crosby, Malkin, Zucker, etc. Matt Murray with two Stanley Cup rings. I just don't see it being an issue.
Grover, we'll finish with this. I'll ask you about, now that the regular season is officially over, some of the trophy winners, who you would award these trophies to. And you may not have numbers in front of you, so if you need a primer, let me know. How about the Hart Trophy? Who should win it?
Well, we talked about the Hart before. Draisaitl, he's my guy. 110 points. Yep, he'd be my guy.
Norris Trophy.
Oh, man.
That's a tough one, ain't it?
Well,
John Carlson had an unbelievable year with 75 points in 69 games.
Carlson cooled, but he had to cool because he was so incredibly hot. And, I mean, a lot of people were saying, I've seen discussions about Hedman and et cetera, and Yossi had a good year. But even though Carlson was on an incredible pace and cooled off, I don't see how he doesn't get it, quite honestly.
How about the Vezina?
Well, the Vezina, I said before, I think if I start looking at the Vezina trophy, and I think Ben Bishop doesn't get enough love for the job he's done in Dallas. I think that team was shaky early on in the season, and I thought he did a really good job. But I will also say this. The Boston Bruins and Tuukka Rask definitely should be in that discussion. And, you know, the other guy who probably doesn't get a lot of talk here in the East is Connor Hellebuyck. There are a lot of people who feel really strongly that he should be there, and I think he should get consideration as well. Probably if I had to pick, though, I'd say Rask.
Lastly, the Jack Adams, Coach of the Year. Who gets it?
Well, we've talked a lot about Sullivan because of the Penguins injury. I think he's a really, really strong candidate. And also, Torella's a really strong candidate as well, to be honest with you. I've said this before. The Penguins have been hurt a lot by injuries, but no team for me, for my money, was more hurt by injuries this year than the Columbus Blue Jackets. And, you know, there was some discussion about whether they'd get in or not. But I think Tortorella's done a great job. And, you know, if they'd have finished the regular season and he'd have got in, I think he'd have been a big-time candidate. But Sullivan, too. I mean, Sullivan's just been just terrific the way he's managed the injuries to major names. And that's not unlike, you know, Seth Jones got hurt, too. So Columbus had some big names get hurt. But both of those guys are great candidates for me, and I could see either one of them win it.
Grover, great stuff. Thank you for the time. Ron, would you like to say goodbye?
Bob, have a great weekend, man.
You too, guys. Thanks so much.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.